My name is Joe Trier, and welcome back to the Frozen North. When last we saw our heroes, they had passed the Frost Maiden's four challenges and successfully gained the Codicle of White, an ancient manuscript which details how the Frost Maiden was raised from the dead and why she has locked Icewind Dale under her spell. The heroes barely escaped with their lives and journeyed in Elijah the Kobold's airship back to Ten Towns. The last scene involved Kestra contacting the mysterious wizard Avaris, who has asked her to journey to Caer Dinnaval and bring along Graham, whose brush with death has linked him with a powerful entity known as Levistus. Each of you are going to have around 24 hours in Ten Towns before you head off to the Reghead Glacier to crack it open and try and find your way into the mysterious underground city. So while we're doing the sort of side quest with Virginia and Curran, have a think, Owen and Niall, what you want to do and how you're going to use that 24 hours. But let us start with Kestra. So Kestra, Virginia, welcome back to the show. You have been dropped off outside the frozen town of Bryn Shander. What do you wish to do? Do you want to head straight to Caer Dinnaval? Do you want to do something in the town first? How do you want to approach this?
I think for Kestra, she probably just want to get going. She wants to get there, get her payment, find out a little bit more about what's happening. And obviously she has to get Graham along with her too, so the quicker they leave, the quicker they get there, and she's also curious about what's going on there, because she's never been to the castle.
Fantastic.
She's only spoken to Avaris kind of outside of it, so getting a look in at this totally not shady cult thing going on there.
Okay, so it's a 10 and a half hour journey if you're going to walk. Caer Dinnaval is the sort of northeast, the far northeast of Ten Towns. It's sort of in the shadow of Kelvin's Cairn, which is the huge mountain. You can hire dogs, like sled dogs. You might even be able to hire axe beaks as well. And we need to bring Graham into this too. Thank you so much to Squire for subscribing. So let's start the scene as the two of you exit the ship. And Elijah sort of waves it and goes, right, I need to, like, sort out this airship. There's no way that I'm going to travel all the way to the Reghead Glacier with it as big as this. We need to expand it, and I need to check in on the supplies. Be back here this time tomorrow. I'll see you all soon. And he sort of lowers down a ladder, and you all sort of clamber down.
In my right D&D edition, he's gone for basically he's not the exhibit.
So, Kestra and Graham, are you heading off together?
Yeah, I would imagine so. All right, so we're making our way to Ten Towns?
So you're already at Ten Towns. So Bryn Shander is, I know we've not played for a couple of weeks. Bryn Shander is like the capital city, or certainly the main city within Ten Towns, and you've been dropped outside of it.
Okay, yeah, we need to go to Bryn Shander.
So Caer Dinnaval is where Kestra is heading.
Caer Dinnaval. Why are we going to Caer Dinnaval?
I think let's play out that scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Kestra kind of, as everyone splits up, she heads over to Graham as, I don't know, he's trying to get the dragon off the airship, I imagine. Like trying to get a dog to go out for the walk.
I'm sort of coiled in this boa constrictor kind of silver dragon worm. Yeah.
She waits till everyone off is like busy saying goodbye to Elijah or like getting stuff off the ship, and kind of gently grabs Graham by the arm and walks him a little bit further away. You need to come with me. We're going to be heading up to the castle.
The castle?
I don't really know, but if I tell you that the prince in the ice wants to talk to you, does that make sense?
I knew that was going to come back to bite me. Okay, let's... Let's go. Let's go to the castle.
My employer wants to talk to you.
Your employer? Never mind. I'm sure I'm going to get some answers. Let's...
She just kind of smiles.
Graham's you know, petting his dragon, which is called Reginald, and he can speak, he's just very quiet.
No, and I've said I am not role-playing Reginald. I have far too many NPCs to handle, so I've handed that over to Curran.
Yeah.
Okay, so you head into Bryn Shander in search of transport, and the town is a ruin. There are refugees filling every building to capacity. There are long queues of people out anywhere that serves food or hot drinks. And the genuine feeling you have is of complete desperate misery. However, you do find a family that are selling sled dogs and their sled, and they demand a ridiculous price. But you soon find your way heading northeast towards Caer Dinnevor. Wrapped in furs, Kestra, this is... you're not immune to cold, are you? You're a red tiefling.
I am not immune to cold, but I have cold resistance because I'm currently carrying the codicil.
So the two of you strike out into the blizzard with the blessing that you've received from the Prince of Darkness of the fifth level of the Nine Hells. And you carrying the Codicil, Kestra, you fly through the blizzards without any problems. And around 5 hours later, you arrive outside Caer Dinnevor. Now, this town is on the edge of civilization. And Kestra, when you visited here previously, you've known it to be far less busy than any of the bigger towns. However, even from a distance, you realize something has changed. There are no wafts of smoke from any of the buildings. There's no sign of footprints on any of the roads or pathways, or even outside the steps of each of the houses. Snow is piled high throughout the town, and in fact, you find that you have to leave your sleds and dogs outside and strike out through the snow-covered buildings. When you've been here previously, when you've met Avarice, you've not headed towards the castle, which sits on a hill above the town and gives the town its name, Caer. And you've never visited there. You've always met her in the inn, which I'll just check the name of. But this building as well, so it's called Dinev's Rest. Dinev was the family that built the castle many, many generations ago. When you approach, there is a wisp of smoke coming from the chimney, and the door is in ajar. You see numerous footsteps, probably recent, going out from the inn and heading towards the castle.
I think Kestra has a moment when they arrive and looks at Graham. Well, this is quieter than it was the last time I was here. And the smoke's coming from the inn, right?
Only from the inn. All the houses around you seem completely deserted. In fact, in the distance, you can hear one door kind of banging in the wind.
I mean, this feels quite ominous, Kestra, I'm not going to lie.
Well, it is a town with a castle, and the last time I was here, you know, creepy, shadowy cult was around, so...
Okay,
let's just head to the inn and see... There's smoke coming from there. If there's no one there, we can head straight to the castle, but that's where I've always met Avarice before.
Yeah. Okay.
On that note, I may have lied about how I found you folks back before all of this.
I mean, I figured as much. I want to get the full story, I think. Yeah. I'm sure that'll be explained.
And I guess they both set off towards the inn. Kestra's cautious if the door is kind of open and it's the only thing that seems busy around.
Okay, so you approach the inn, and it's a large two-story building, and there is smoke wafting up the top. And as you get closer, you do notice that the smoke is looking thicker. The door is ajar, and it's a little kind of like footway, only maybe 5 foot square. Maybe sort of an anteroom, maybe where you could sort of leave coats or things like that, although unlikely in 10 towns. And you push your way into the common room proper. There are at least a dozen people here, all dressed in black armor and wrapped in thick fur-lined cloaks, I should say. Mm-hmm. To one corner, you notice an ice-white tiefling sat at a table with a foaming mug of beer. She is flanked on either side by two stone gargoyles who stare out into the room. And she notices you as you enter and raises her hand to you, Kestra.
And Kestra will nod back, pull the hood back down off of her cloaks and her traveling robes now that they're into kind of something, an area that's warmer, and just kind of nudge Graham and go, "That's Avarice in the corner." And Kestra will, if there is somebody serving at the tavern bar, she will go and get herself a cup of something hot on her way to that table.
So there are three black armored, I guess, soldiers, two male, one female, behind the bar, helping themselves the various brews and beverages to be found there. One of them has broken open a barrel and is helping himself. Mm-hmm. As you take a step into the room, a large figure who's facing the fire turns around, and you see he's another red-skinned tiefling, similar looking to Kestra in a way, but much larger, his skin much darker, and his eyes burning with a blue-white light. And he looks at you both, half ignoring Kestra, and focuses on you, Graham, and goes, "You've finally made it then. Oh, it's good to see you. My name is Kadroth, leader of the Knights of the Black Sword."
Do I know? And, I do know you.
I believe we share a patron.
Yeah. I saw you vaguely from the sky when I was flying over you. Hi.
He looks a bit puzzled when you say that.
No worries.
My master wishes to speak to you. He came to me last night in a dream, and he said that a champion was coming. One who would be able to break open the Lord in the Ice for once and for all, and help our cause. Come,
absolutely,
come.
Yeah, that's me. You caught me. I'm the champion. Who do I talk to? Like, where are you taking me? What's going on?
Come. He puts his arm around you and begins to lead you out of the inn, and sort of clicks his fingers above his head. Everybody, come on. We have a successful plot to pursue. Leave those drinks, come on.
So I'm like, at this point, I'm a bit shocked that almost everybody in the pub is all part of this. I'm like, whoa. Everybody was on. I'm the champion of these people. Yeah, that's me. Cool. Kestra. And I'm just calling back as I'm being pushed forward. Kestra.
Kestra is in the middle of picking up one of the drinks that is put down, because unless Avarice is getting up, she's not going to follow, because her business.
No, Avarice is not getting up at all. She's looking sort of disdainfully at the black-robed cultist.
Kestra picks up the drink and just raises the glass to Graham. No, good. Go up.
Okay.
So Kadroth puts his arm around you, and you realize he's like a foot and a half taller than you. And although his paunch is huge and there's a lot more fat than muscle, or at least evident, his arm feels heavy across your shoulders. And as you leave the inn, you are surrounded by these 12 black armored figures. And can you give me a perception roll as you're sort of led away from Kestra in the inn?
Yeah. One moment. I'm just trying to remember what my perception is. I think it's zero.
That's not true. That is
always helpful.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, it's a good old fashioned not zero. No bonus. So I got 14.
You're kind of glancing here and there, and one of the cultists, as he walks by you, has a chain round his neck, and the symbol on the end is that of a black sword, but what's remarkable about it is it's made of Chardolin. The black eyes that possess those of East Haven.
And we're getting double up down here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Aram, I don't know if you can hear us, but we're getting echoes.
Oh, that should be okay.
Fantastic. Cheers. Okay,
yes,
Kestra.
It's made of chardolin, yeah.
It's made of chardolin, yeah. Kestra, you are beckoned over by Avarice, who sort of raises a glass and beckons you to sit down in front of her. The two gargoyles blink and sort of move slowly like you'd expect from creatures made of stone.
Kestra goes ahead and takes the drink that she's, you know, picked up that somebody else has put down from the bar and makes her way over. And she sits in... she sits opposite Avarice, as close to the fire as she can get. She does not like the cold. Puts the drink on the table and kind of sits back in the chair. Oh, that was interesting.
I wouldn't pay too much mind to them when he gets a thought in his head, whether it's one of his crazy dreams or something else. He has a tendency to get a bit carried away. However, this time, he seems to be far more certain than any other time before. I think he may really have been contacted by the Lord of Ice, or at least something.
Well, Graham did come back from the dead, or so it seems.
Well, that is interesting. And am I right in saying you were successful in your mission? And she reaches below the table and pulls out a black velvet bag and places it on the table in front of her, although still slightly nearer her than it is near you.
Oh, I do like somebody who shows the payment up front, she says. She kind of puts her hands on the table and then she reaches down into the kind of side pouch that she's carrying and pulls out the Codakill and just puts it down on in front of her, closer to her still, puts her hand on top of it. We got it. Almost died trying, I might add. But it is yours if you would want it. And she slides it across the table, leans back and takes a sip out of her drink.
You're willing to part with such an artifact? I mean, this bauble is a powerful indeed and was very difficult to come by, but it is not a genuine Frost Maiden's book. But if you're willing to swap?
Well, you wanted the codicil. That's what you hired me for, wasn't it?
Well, what I was really looking for was an entrance into the underground city of Aetherin. That lost city of ancient Netherreal, which holds what I'm really looking for. And I understand that this artifact, this codicil, holds the way in. Am I right?
That it does. There, I believe there's a spell or an incantation that's supposed to crack open the glacier.
Well, how about this? How about you keep hold of it? And she places her fingers together, almost in prayer, and leans forward to you. Honesty, a sheen across her face. How about...
Kestra leans into and does the same thing.
You break open that glacier for us. You find the way to Aetherin, as we discussed. We might be some way behind, and if you find any artifacts, anything of value, maybe we'll deal again. I don't want to break a previous agreement, although... And you can see for a moment there is hunger in her eyes, and can you make me an insight check?
Yep. Where is my insight on here? It's a 10.
She's holding something back, and it's almost like she's saying something she either doesn't believe or doesn't agree with. There's definitely a hunger for the codicil. Like, she really wants to just reach over and grab it, you get the impression.
Kestra doesn't make a move to pull the codicil back, and she stays leaned in with her fingers interlocked as well. And she smiles, this big grin. Now, I feel like there's something you're not telling me, which is fine. But I'm somebody who works for hire. Right now, you're the one paying me, so that's where my loyalties are. So if there's another story here, if there's something else that you want, I can help you get it. And she flashes another big grin. It's that hot, you know, it's the You're paying me. Whatever you want, I can get it. You just have to tell me what it is.
Avarice rolls down the velvet bag, and inside is a gleaming obsidian statue. That of a steed, sort of raised with its hooves in the air. This is what you were looking for. This will summon a creature of hill, a nightmare steed under your control. But beware, it has limited power, can only be summoned once a day. So be careful. I have more payments if you could do me a final favor. Once you're within Ithrien, if you manage to find the way, I need you to find this. She reaches down and pulls out an ancient book and flicks through its thick pages until you see a fiery ball painted in elaborate color. This is a mithilar. Do you know what a mithilar is?
I can't say that I do. Enlighten me.
These were artifacts of ancient Netheril, created before Mistra, or Mistril, the goddess of magic as she was at the time, disallowed 10th level magic, and that kept it for the gods only. These artifacts could, well, levitate cities, recharge magic items, they could even change the weather. In our current situation, she points out through the window, you can imagine how useful that might be.
Oh, I can. I'm no fan of the cold. And she kind of laughs because she assumes that neither is Avarice with both of their heritages.
Well, Avarice is ice white, so her heritage is different from yours, although she is a tiefling. And she says, if you can find your way with your capable companions into this underground city, locate this mithilar, find a way to contact me. You may need my help in activating it. But if not, activating would bring me everything I need. And again, she sort of looks to the side again as if she's not telling you the whole story.
And I think Kestra nods, but she still doesn't touch anything on the table. There's something else. I'll do that. I'll crack open the glacier. I'll find this artifact for you. There's something else that you want. I'm in the business of getting people the things that they want.
She smiles.
Can I see if I can try and charm her into telling me?
Yeah, definitely. Do you want to give me a social role? It wouldn't be intimidate, unless you want to do it that way.
Can I go for persuasion? She's trying to do the thing of, like, if you just tell me, I can get it. I really can get it. Like, I've just brought this thing to you that you want.
No, for sure. Give me that role.
One second. I think I have a thing. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's 15.
He says, Netheril, or the civilization of Netheril, were known for hoarding secrets and artifacts. I'm not really willing to tell you what else I'm after, but the mithilar is something we can both agree would aid everybody. And finding it would be maybe a joint quest, something that would be useful, mutually useful.
If I can, then I'll make sure that any artifacts that are down there perhaps come back with me for you.
There will be a fine price paid for anything you can find.
Well then, I will take the codicil and my payment, and I will get you everything else that you need.
Fantastic. So if you want to look on D&D Beyond, this is a figurine of wondrous power. You can check the rules for that. Awesome. Curin, Graham, you are... led with this sort of flanax, this of guards up this
and
winding
wrapped in a dragon,
wrapped in a dragon,
and I've got no top on because I'm like the cold means nothing.
You're basically Lady Gaga right now.
Yeah. I've got a dress made of meat. Let's go.
The tiefling's like, I really like your style. I mean, gosh. And you're led through the gates, which open before you to reveal a black dragon made of Chardalyn, damaged and broken from its battle with you and yours many, many days, many weeks ago at this stage. Mm-hmm. But as you enter, it lifts its head, its pieces creaking against each other as it does so, and it faces you with these burning, burning eyes as if it recognizes you. Don't mind that. That creature joined our cause a while ago, more than a 10-day, but it fights for us, the Knights of the Black Sword. Come, don't mind it, it won't
attack.
Are
you sure? Are you, like, and I'm flinching, like, every time the dragon makes any slight, like, blinks, I'm like, whoa, what was
it? It kind of raises its neck and its head high as you pass, and you kind of have this memory of the radiant, burning light that pierced you not that long ago in your battle with it. But this is where it ended up.
Yep. You're not going to turn it like that, are you, Reginald?
No, I won't.
That's the sound of a silver dragon, apparently.
Come. Mm-hmm. And he leads you to a corner, one of the corner towers, where there is a trapdoor in the floor. Opening up, it leads a thin flight of staircase going down into darkness, which eventually leads you through darkened passages into a room. A strange room, 15 foot square roughly. In the center is a pillar of ice. Chained to it is an effigy. The back of the room is covered in brown mold where the cold is emanating from. And Kaedroth goes, I dare not enter.
You dare? Why?
Kneel before the symbol of our Lord. And I have been promised he will contact you.
Okay. So he's saying that I should kneel? You want me to kneel?
Into the room. I wouldn't take your dragon in. I fear for its life.
Oh, okay. All right, Reginald, you can stay out here with and I look up at this guy. He's it'll be all right. Oh, actually, no. Go find Kestra. She'll look after you. It's fine. Don't worry about me.
The silver dragon uncoils itself from you and lands on the floor, its claws clinking against the hard stone, and it slithers off in a dart. Like, 1 minute it's there, 1 minute it's gone. Like, you don't see it move. It just... It's so swift and so lithe, or it's using some sort of magic.
Ooh.
But it's no longer there.
And you can hear it, like, giggling from the darkness. It's not sinister at all. It's a silver dragon. What are you doing? Anyway, and then I'm like, all right, I'm not freaked out at all by the weird room that everyone's afraid of. So I'm going to go right ahead and walk right in there. Yep. Right, that's me. Right, let's go. And here we go. And I walk up into the door. And the door, is it ajar? Is it open?
There is no
door.
It's
just an archway.
Archway. It probably was once a door in this dungeon, but no longer. And as you step a foot beyond, even though you are immune to cold, you've been given the gift of the Nine Hells, or the gift of Stygia. You feel how cold this room is. It's not going to damage you, but it is noticeable for the first time since leaving the Isle of Solstice.
This is really cold. Hello? Anyone here? And I'm calling out. Is it dark?
There is a kind of fiery glow, although you can't see where from. The whole room just has this sort of blue miasma.
Can I sort of slightly hold up my rapier of the frost, or frost rapier, and open it up slightly just so I have, for the frost brand rapier, so I can... illuminate the room a little more and see what's around.
The room seems to be empty, although in the center is this pillar of ice and chained to it is this effigy. You can't, when you look at it, it seems to blur. You can tell that it's a man, but it's like looking at it through ice. It's distorted and strange, and it hurts your eyes to concentrate on it. You hear Kaedroth's voice from the corridor. Kneel before it. Be quick, Graham. Hey, you're risking life and limb by not showing your. And then you don't hear his voice anymore.
Okay.
You turn your head, and the passageway behind you is just completely dark.
Oh wow. Okay. I'm gonna kneel and turn my gaze away from it because it's clearly giving me a bit of a headache. And I'm like, my lord? I'm asking sort of as a question.
your voice.
My lord?
I guess.
So your voice, hesitant and unsure, is carried away. And it's like you've whispered down a long corridor and you hear it echoing and repeating. And you feel yourself falling forward into darkness. And suddenly, you are faced with vision, a fiery figure held within a mountain of ice. And I'll pass over to Aram.
Oh.
Another one of these freaky faces, Jesus.
It's good to see you again.
Oh, Aram. It's good to see you too. I can't really look at you, but you know what I mean. How are you doing?
I'm not doing very well, Graham.
Is it the whole ice thing, is it?
It is the trapped in ice thing for an eternity. Yeah. That is my main problem, Graham.
Yeah, that would be uncool, I guess.
But you're here now. Well,
yes, I am.
You've
and
come
I will.
To help, haven't you?
Yeah, you helped me. I said I'd help you. This isn't a...
I'm so glad that we have that arrangement.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know why you're here?
To help you? I couldn't... I think your voice cut out there for a moment. I couldn't hear anything.
How will you help me?
How? I need to free you from the ice, obviously.
Yes.
But how?
Well, it's a bit tricky. But you and these knights of yours... We'll use the Mythalar and open a gate to Stygia, and then use this Frost Maiden spell. Use it against her. Use it to free me. It can break the ice. It can stop the freezing of hell. Just get me out, Grom. That's all that I need.
So that's all you need? Do you think you could,
what else would I need, Grom?
Could you compensate me if I get this done? I mean, this sounds like a tall order, you know?
What would you like?
Let's just say, I will tell you what I want once you're free. Does it sound good?
Yes. I will give you anything your heart desires as soon as I am free.
Okay. All right.
Do we have a deal?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I'm going to help you. I've got you covered.
Give me your hand. And he extends his arm.
I hesitantly put my hand out and look away. I'm like, yeah.
He takes your hand and he leans forward and he kisses it. And you feel a sizzling, a bit of pain, a sting for a moment on the back of your palm. And when you pull it back, there's this blood red set of lips that just fades into your flesh. Our contract is sealed.
Oh, shit. I mean, yes. Of course it is.
I look forward to hearing from you again very, very soon.
Of course, Levitus. Yes, and I do a little curtsy, and then I'm like, oh, fuck, have I got myself into? Right, I did, sorry.
Okay, and you awake on the frozen floor. You're literally shaking as if you're recovered from a fit. And you look down, and the top of your hand is blackened, and there is a mark upon it, which, knowing what it is, does seem to be the mark of a kiss. And let us move the camera over to Owen. Owen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Joe.
So, when obviously Graham and Kestra disappeared off into the town, you were left with 24 hours to spend in the place that you have called home for the last, well, almost 3 years. You've got this time to spend. Is there anything you wish to do before we head off to the Reghead Gracia?
Self is going to go to the casino. No. So with the last couple of days, it's all been about this lost city of Etherin, and Zalfis realizes he doesn't know a whole lot about the area. And when the airship, he got the Professor Orb off gone.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back to... We didn't live in Brynshan, did we? We did.
So
In the temple.
So is there a workshop?
So you and Gon lived in Brynshan.
I believe Gon had the attic of the temple.
There you go.
Oh, the temple. Yeah. Yes, that's a long time ago, and that was established. So yeah, I'm going to head back to what I assume was like a bombed workshop. Like, go up the steps to the back of the temple where this workshop is, clearing away like bits of wood and stuff. Just clear a work area to kind of research and talk to the Professor Orb and ask him about Etherin.
So your journey through Brynshanda is a sad one. This is a place that, possibly unwillingly, you've called home for the last 2.5 years. The hardy people there, although maybe not a natural friend to an artificer, and don't understand or appreciate the work that you do, unless it's got a real practical application to them and theirs. You have found some sort of home there, and seeing the town devastated and filled with starving refugees really does leave a mark upon you. The church itself, the Church of Lathlanda, has become a home or a refuge to these people from all the different towns. And you have to force your way through crowds of people desperate for food that does not exist and warmth that is not available. But you do find the way to the little stairway at the back of the temple that leads up to the place that you call home. And opening the door, you do indeed find that it has been ransacked. Your careful experiments thrown to a side as people have searched for food or for things of use, or maybe even from shelter. And I think you might even find a place in the corner where someone has used it to relieve themselves, to try and find that kind of modicum of privacy, which is not available to them downstairs. But you clear away a space, and what do you wish to do?
So just as I'm going in the door, which can be seen from the street and different places, I'm going to take like a bit of charred wood and just draw the symbol of the Harpers on the door, because the Harpers would know that I live here. So if there's anyone around, they might see that, recognize I might be in. And I'm going to go into this workspace, pull out the orb, and just try and... So, like, hello? Mr. Orb?
Ah, Zalfiz. I'm glad to hear from you again. I have to say, of all the people that have owned me in the past, well, would it be a year and a half... You have been my favourite. We do seem to have a meeting of minds, indeed. I appreciate someone with cunning and artifice and appreciation for the little things that lead up to the big things. You hey. Are indeed...
I've heard something.
Do you hear that?
I don't think I own you, technically. I mean, I wouldn't want to own you. But also Gunn, I guess, owns you. If we are going that way.
No, it's a sad sight to see someone as me laid low to become a mere possession. Oh, in my day, I ruled over the books. I had apprentices and I had a goal, the search for knowledge. And now I have been torn from my body and trapped within this thing, this... Oh, dear. Well, anyway, what can I do for you?
Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, like... Were you torn and put in this orb, or did you put yourself in the orb to protect you?
Ah. Good question. Pass.
Which Joe is not talking. obviously.
No. His voice is reeking with embarrassment.
Okay.
If you want to give me an either intimidate or persuasion roll to try and push him.
I don't think Zavis would really care that much whether he's done it for self-preservation or not. It doesn't seem sinister. It just seems more like embarrassment to me, you're saying?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. Well, there's possibly a sinister edge to it, actually. He's never turned down knowledge before. Like, he's always been very willing to talk far too much. It's probably the first time you've ever got him to say no.
Someone who ruined over the books is going to air quote. How do you let someone outsmart you and rip you away from your studies and put you in a paperweight?
Give me a persuasion roll.
Ooh, a persuasion roll. Plus one. Bum, 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 bum. So on roll 20, which is rolling 6.
I'd rather not speak of it, to be honest. It's not my finest achievement, to be honest. But needless to say, I did this to myself. I'd rather not go into details.
Yeah, it mightn't be an achievement. It's impressive. However you managed to... experiments go awry. The real reason I talked to you, we don't know anything about this city of Aetherin. It was lost, trapped, or... How did it cease to be? How did it become entombed in the glacier? Or under the glacier? In the glacier or under the glacier?
Under, I believe, but probably both. Honestly, Aetherin was a jewel of cities. The ancients of Netheril, as I've been told, we are, or so referred to. We were an enclave of wizards. We ruled over Faerûn, and were only matched by the devastating Faerim, the creatures from below. We powered magics that have never been seen in the realms before or since, and Aetherin was... stood above the rest, should I say. Our leader was a lich by the name of Irolathus, and he sought magic and information wherever it was found. We called ourselves the Wizards of the Ebon Star. 8 wizards and Irolathus ruled us. Each of the 8 wizards held mastery over one of the schools of magic. I was a lowly barbarian. Barbarian? Well, I would have been referred to as such. No, I was a lowly librarian. But I had power in my own way. But no, we discovered an ancient civilization. Have you heard of the giants?
The giants? Is that it?
Well, not just the giants of Astoria. 40,000 years old, an empire of spellcasting giants that held power even undreamt before by Netheril in some ways. And we discovered one of their cities.
I heard a small bit about them, but then we moved on to talking about a very flat rock. Didn't hear all that much.
Oh, that doesn't sound very interesting.
It was actually more interesting than you would think. It was a very good tour. Is this one of these classic dwarf tales of we dug too deep, we found one of these cities?
It's funny you should say that, but yes. We found an ancient city, an enclave of Astoria. And within it, an artifact of strange and confusing power. A spindle. A spinning rock, maybe 10 foot long. Of immense and unfathomable power. Irolathus brought it back to the city and held it within his spire. And that is where we went wrong. We were days out of the city and suddenly... I heard a tremendous crash, a boom which shook the very city itself. All magic ceased to function and that is where my memory ceases. I assume that Well, I assume we just plummeted from the sky and into the Reghead Glacier.
I know it's 10 feet long, so it's not the same, but does that sound similar to that item that we blew up over the frozen lake? Remember that may or may not have killed Zelfis at one point?
No.
Like morning star or something? No. I thought that was something that was spinning as well. Okay.
So that, and you, I mean, going back, so that was a Mithilar, or there was a priest who had found an ancient book from Netheril, and he tried to construct a Mithilar on a much smaller scale, and I think it blew you up very briefly, but it did destroy Aurel's rhyme for a very, very short time.
So prevented magic, and there was a big boom, okay.
But it was an artifact from Netheril, at least based upon one, yeah.
So, you took it back to the city, and it something or someone blew. Who was working on it? Was it Irolathras? Was that who said it?
Irolathras, yes, our light leader in the Circle of Eight. You've got to understand that our cities were powered by. Well, I guess it doesn't matter now. These things called Mithilar. These are orbs of immense power. I mean, ours was a mere 50 foot in diameter, but some of them were almost 200 feet wide and could do almost anything. Anything you could imagine they could perform. Lifting hundreds of thousands of tons into the air was nothing to them.
Fascinating. So, think of the Lady Penguin, I could build one of them. Is there still one in the glacier? In the city?
Assuming that the spindle from Astoria didn't completely disrupt it, it will lay in the heart of the city beneath the Tower of Irolathras.
And that would be enough to... Or is there another way to break open the glacier that you've researched?
I have no idea how to break open the glacier, although overhearing your conversations, it sounds like the tiefling Kestra hold such a power within the codicil.
Oh, yeah, the codicil. We probably should have kept that. So,
yeah.
When, after the disaster, was there anyone left? Is there, what dangers can I expect, or what locals or help? Is there anything? How did you get into the orb? How did you get out of here? Someone must have brought you out.
Well, yes, of course. I was after my failed experiment, I was used as a resource. I was carried round by wizards and apprentices who needed to know what I knew. The time I was in the Tower of Illusion, and when the city broke, my understanding is that tower was smashed off the top, toppled into Icewind Dale, and that is where I was found.
Okay, so...
And again, many weeks ago in real life, we did go, you went into the Tower of Illusion.
And when... Because we discussed the time, that was when he was, like, a month ago was when he was found. Because when did this explosion... When did this all happen, I guess?
It's like, all happened. Ago? Well, by Dale reckoning, I can't say. 1,800 years ago, I would guess. Although much of it I've spent in darkness in a tower...
It's very specific for someone who was... I couldn't guess, but exactly 1,800 years ago.
Well, I may be out by a few years here or there. It's difficult to tell. The previous fools who have owned me were rather less conversational, shall we say, than you are.
And if we can free the city, is there a way to help you? For the help you are going to give us?
Laying a guilt on heavy.
It's funny you should say that. Right. If I guide you within the city and show you where the Mithilar is, I might ask for a boon, just a small thing maybe when we're there. We'll discuss it closer to the time, but there are things within the Tower of Irolathras which may help my situation.
Very good. I mean, worst comes to worst, you're stuck in a ball, and if it seems unreasonable, we can just disagree at the time. Why wouldn't you tell me now?
Right, well... I'd really rather not. It's a bit embarrassing.
And I think... A glass ball. Okay.
Oh, fine. No,
I'll tell you then. No, unless you want to give me, you can give me another perception, not perception, sorry, persuasion roll, but you get the impression that if you fail and pushing him about something he's so uncomfortable about, he may be less forthcoming in the future.
Zalfiz is a practical kind of guy and doesn't care for feelings, so with a plus five, I'll roll, I guess. I rolled a 7, but I had a flash of genius and thought I'd say please at the end to give me a plus 5 for 12.
Oh, Zalfiz, I can't say no to you. So, the lich, to become a lich, an immortal wizard, you have to create an artifact, one that holds your soul. I attempted this. As my aging body began to crumble, I tried to force my soul into this orb to become that which all wizards aspire to, an immortal creature of magic. Obviously, I'd have to fuel my ever-living existence with the souls of the dying and, you know, the innocent forms, but there was plenty of slaves and such in Nether. It would matter. Anyway, I miscast the stolen spell and ended up as this thing, subject to the will of anyone who holds me.
Okay, so just so we're clear, the embarrassment wasn't the ritual sacrifice, just the accidental trapping an orb.
Well, no, I mean, as you know, people who have the vision and the prowess and the intellect and the knowledge such as us, we need to have, you know, precedence over lesser forms.
I'm going to stop you there. Those of us with intelligence find a way around these issues that don't involve murder and sacrifice.
Oh, because sure, no, of course.
Help us, like Gon.
I mean, if
you time him, he'll help you on a job.
When he says, of course, if an orb could wink, he has somehow managed to do it. Of course, of course.
There's a Disney sparkle in the corner of the...
Okay, unless there's anything else you want to do, I'm going to move the camera over to Gon.
No one smashed the orb, but we'll...
Back into your stupid library you go, you horrible bastard.
Don't care about your stupid ice city. I don't more to glean from it.
And he is available. So there is going to be a 4-day journey to the Redhead Glacier, and then there's also the journey to the city itself once you've cracked it open. So if you do think of anything else, do let me know, and you can continue to communicate with the professor, or Professor Scant, that's his name.
Does that mean I can just burn spells like crazy until then?
Sure. And so gone. As everyone else has exited Elijah's airship, you are left standing alone on the frigid tundra on outside the walls of Bryn Shando. What do you wish to do?
The first thing Gon does, just being himself, seeing all the people in Bryn Shando, he does basically use all of his spell slots to cast Goodberry and just disperses them amongst the crowd so people actually have something to eat. Prior to that, he wants to go back into the Lonely Wood, to where his clan lived, and basically try to commune with the gods that his druid teacher had taught him about, and that kind of his clan kind of worshipped too. They were more nature gods. But from what he learned from his teacher, there was kind of I believe they were called the First Circle. It was like the kind of original gods of the druids. And he knew about several of them. The three that put down Oriel, Malar, Talos, and Umberlee. He knew about them, but he didn't really follow them. But then there was three more that he kind of were related with, which were Sylvanas, Shanti, and Maliki.
Maliki and Shanti?
So Forest Father, Great Jander.
Shanti too.
I know. they're the three that he'd like to communicate with, or try to commune with, kind of just through prayer.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so it's going to be a journey of around 6 hours if you're going to walk to Lonely Wood from Bryn Shando.
What would I walk? Why would I walk when I've got a magic moose who will actually remain unnamed?
Tale is all this time. Why walk when you can take your magic moose?
Still unnamed. Now, Gon does have a game plan, which is he will eventually awaken the moose and get the name from the moose, but he is not going to name it until then, because he's not going to force a name on the animal without, you know, at this stage he knows he can actually consult with animals after meeting several awakened animals.
But he's okay with forcing him to carry him around the world until he finds a name out.
It's a mutual friendship, okay, Owen? And he doesn't mind.
This is my back, I sit on his to ride around.
This is very much, I mean, again, to draw on Lord of the Rings, this is very much a paragon relationship. Like Shadowfax was the Lord of Horses, this is the Lord of Meese.
Meese guys like cheese and cats, Joe.
Okay, so you gallop through the frozen wastelands, and there are no sign of people. You kind of pass by the town of Lonely Wood in the distance, and you see across the broken bridge that the village itself seems deserted. Snow is piled high over the buildings. There's no sign of wood smoke or any sign of life from within. But when you enter the forest itself, you feel a different feeling, a feeling you've not felt since you left your clan. It's a feeling of home. As you enter the woods, the temperature rises, and it's still frozen, but with the trees and the canopy overhead, the darkness within feels welcoming rather than hostile. And as you make your way through the trees and through the miles and miles of kind of darkened woodland, you feel at peace for the first time that you can remember. Do you have a specific destination in mind?
I don't want to go to where the druid that kind of trained me was kind of based, because he got corrupted and basically taken over by Ariel and whatnot. Just to our clan, to where we kind of had our central camp set up. Anywhere there is where he'd really just feel comfortable. There's no specific point. Probably, yeah, the central area where we'd normally gather for our, you know, food and just whatever we did to pass time.
So you arrive probably near nighttime at the clearing, or the natural clearing, where you see the kind of, would they be tents or would they be houses? Like, what sort of, how do you imagine your clan would have lived?
They would have been tents, but like robust, like stood over years and years, thick animal hides, roofs that like would prevent leaking, kind of like a village of tents and whatnot.
So the clearing is still there, although obviously is covered in a sheen of silvery snow, and there is evidence of habitation, although it is collapsed. I mean, it's been almost 3 years since you lived here.
And was since I've been back, after it happened, I kind of left and never really came back.
Of course. Is there somewhere that would be more holy to you, or would there? Where do you want to head once you've arrived?
I guess the tent that him and his brothers lived in. The clan wasn't holy, so to say. They kind of just lived off the land. They didn't really worship anything. If anything, they worshipped those three gods that I mentioned, just because they were kind of more based around harvest and the forest and kind of nature in general, which is very much the kind of lifestyle that they lived. But there wasn't any particular one god or goddess that they based their life around.
So you kind of you make your way through the clearing or clearings, and you sort of picture in your mind how it was, and you can see the different yurts and areas that you grew up and spent much of your life. And you arrive in a smaller clearing off to one side where your family yurt was, this sort of almost conical tent, and it's still standing roughly. You can see a dark doorway, and you make your way in, and you feel your nostrils and yourself with familiar scents and familiar memories, and you find yourself lost in thought as you make a fire and make a meal, and just find yourself staring out into the falling snow.
Yeah. So while doing that, he does what he hasn't really done before, which is he will actually try to commune with the gods, because what he knows of is from the first circle, the original gods, the druids. He recognizes all the names, except for he wasn't aware of Auriel being a part of it, which he now realizes might have been the case, considering she was struck down by three other gods from this kind of druid circle, and there would have been three that he didn't really follow. But he'd like to communicate with Sylvanius, Shantia, and Myleiki, and see if he can get any answers as to why the three of those gods struck her down.
So you, as you were taught, kneel in prayer and open yourself up. You find yourself staring into the fire that you've made, and the flames flicker in front of you, becoming meditative, and you find yourself lost in thought. You try and avoid focusing on one thing, and memories of your family and your brother who was gave himself to Auriel flicker through your mind, and you force that away and try and keep your mind clear and empty and allow yourself to be lost in the moment. But you are broken from your meditation by the sound of hooves from outside.
Are they the moose's hooves, or are they like a smaller creature?
No, your moose left you when you entered the village. And this doesn't sound the same. And there's a loud snort, and you turn your head and look out into the darkness, where you see a silvery unicorn standing in the moon. How is standing in the moonlight? That can't be possible. There's no moonlight. There's no way that any moonlight could appear under Auriel's rhyme. But there it is. Snowflakes being highlighted, falling around it in this silvery radiance.
Hold on, let me just check. I don't think I have speak with animals. I'll go out and sure. I don't have it prepared, and I don't know if I actually have it in my spell list, so I'm not bothered looking right now. I'll just communicate with it normally. I think unicorns can probably talk because they're magical. Hello. I'll go over and I'll put my hand out and cautiously approach it and see if it kind of shies away or anything like that, or if it kind of gets aggressive.
Yeah, that
spears me.
You sort of put your hand around the side, the sort of almost 2 foot long, pin sharp, and this enormous beast lowers its head and allows you to stroke it. And you hear a voice in your head, or you hear it's not so much a voice, it's almost like a feeling of calmness. And again, you suddenly feel completely at rest as this magical creature, this totem of Myleiki, has appeared before you. And you get the impression it's asking you to ask it questions. What do you wish to know?
Why was Auriel struck down by the other gods?
She snorts, and it almost sounds like a grin or a smile or a laugh, and you hear the voice again. Auriel is a fractious god, and she lost patience with the restrictions that those had placed upon her. She froze Umberly's seas into what she saw as perfection, angering the bitch god. She tamed Talos's storms and slew the hunting creatures of Malor. But most of all, she refused to side in with them in their own battles. She insulted them, and they banded together to take her power. They wait now beyond the clouds.
Why can't they enter?
Auriel sacrifices her godhood and much of her power to cast this spell every night. Every night she flies over the Dale and shields it from all of us. The gods cannot see into Icewind Dale unless
A follower such as yourself gives us a window.
And can you do anything to help me?
I can give you two things, Gon. Two things that you desire. Well, no. One thing you desire and one thing that you need. First of all, I sense sadness and confusion for you. Your family did not give themselves over to Auriel. They did not sacrifice their beliefs or their courage. No, the opposite. They traveled, as you did, to the Isle of Solstice, the whole tribe, in an effort to despoil Auriel's power. But they found only death. Those that refused to join her remain there still, frozen in her garden of ice. If you had explored more, you would have found them there. But gone. If you break the rhyme, if you break Auriel's spell, your family and your tribe will be freed.
I met, at least I believe it was Auriel. She saved my life.
It was not Auriel. Auriel would not appear to you or to anyone. Auriel cares nothing for mortals, not her followers or her enemies. She regards all mortals as nothing.
Oh, what saved me?
You were saved by another fractious entity, a prince of the Nine Hells, a creature who calls himself Levistus. He sees your power and those of your groups as a way of escaping from Asmodeus's power and prison. He wishes for you to free him.
What? He saved my life. Do I have any ties to him? Well, can he corrupt? Can he control me in any way?
He sees everything you do. Everything. Here you are protected. He hears not this conversation, but everything else he can feel and see. And if he wished to, he could reach out and attempt to control. But you are strong at heart and good of spirit. Unless you gave yourself over to him, he cannot take full control.
How can I break that connection?
The demons of hell have more power here because the gods cannot see. Asmodeus himself dares not act directly on the mortal realm for fear of reprisal from the gods. But under Auriel's rhyme, they take many liberties.
So, we need to stop Auriel. Is it possible to kill a god? Should I kill a god?
You may have to defeat her avatar, but that would not kill her. She would return in time and recast her rhyme. No. You must find a way to force her spell to end. Break the weather above for long enough. And the gods you have mentioned, Talos, Umberly, and Mala, would descend on her herself. But if you cast a spell that powerful, Auriel will arrive, and you would have to hold her off until the others arrive. I fear you do not have that power, though powerful you and your companions be. So take this. And you feel in your hand a crown appear. A crown of thorns. This will empower you, Gon. Your beast shapes. When you take on the shape of nature,
your attacks will be empowered with the very elemental powers themselves. Fire, ice, anything you can dream, you can empower your blows. Mechanically, this means you can choose an element, and your B-shape attacks will have an additional 2d6 elemental damage to them.
Before you added that, awesome. I was just thinking Green Lantern, the nature version.
Yeah. I was thinking I'm the Avatar.
Wait till the Fire Nation attacks, then you're all buggered.
Yeah,
then
we're all buggered. thank you for this help. But is there any way that I can shield myself from Levistus hearing or seeing what I do with my allies outside of this shelter we have here?
One of your allies has become a pawn of Levistus. Even if knows straight away who it is. Even if I could shield you, I could not prevent him from getting towards your ally. You must trust there is a plan in place, and there is a way through the darkness.
We think, from what we've learned, we can break the rhyme. I hope that your fellow deities are ready for when we do. If we do, it might be our only chance.
Those gods are fickle and angry. I would not summon them, nor would I be willing to sacrifice myself to communicate with them. However, if you break the weather and allow them to see Auriel, they will come, and they will drag her away into darkness.
Thank you, Maliki. And I'll kind of bow to the unicorn. And is there anything else I need to know before I go?
You journey to a place of death. A city filled with power and magic from a time when mortals held the power of gods. There are creatures there which could obliterate you and even Auriel herself. Tread lightly and be wary.
Okay. And Gon will kind of step away from the unicorn.
And I think that is where we will leave today's stream. So thank you so much everyone for watching and listening on the podcast, and thank you everyone for playing. We'll do a very quick sign off. Well, so if you want to get in touch with me, you can reach me personally on Twitter at Joe the GM, or you can reach Howie Well Podcast at HWR Podcast. The podcast, both the podcast and the stream, have a Discord page, so you can reach Does It Roll and Howie Roll communities through our Discord. So please check that out. We have Facebook pages, we have Twitter pages, and we have Patreon. So please do check us out. Curran, thank you again for playing.
If anyone wants to find me, they can find me on Twitter at Curran_J. That's KURAN_J, or on the How We Roll Discord, or on the Does It Roll Discord. Yeah.
Amazing. Owen, again, thank you so much for playing.
People can find more of me on the Discord pages, as you've said, with How We Roll and Does It Roll. I also have my own Discord page, which is linked on my Twitter, which is How We Roll Owen, which is down there underneath my camera. Owen, for anyone who's listening, is EOGHAN, and I'm also on Twitch under How We Roll Owen as well. Not streaming quite as much at the moment because my computer kind of half blew up and there's no GPUs in the world, so we're on there about once or twice a week at the moment. But yeah, come over and hang out and just chat. Face what we do.
Yep.
Amazing. And Niall, again, thank you.
Hi, I'm Niall. I played Gon tonight, and yeah, you can find me on the How We Roll Discord or on the Does It Roll Discord. You can also find me on How We Roll Podcast Nile on Twitter, and yeah, that's where you can find me. So either tweet or Discord, and you'll be able to get in contact with me.
Amazing. And again, Virginia, thank you again so much for joining us. How can people find more of you?
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun. I'm enjoying this a lot and getting into terrible situations. So you can find me on Twitter at Tabletop Horde and Twitch as well. I'm going to be streaming The Walking Dead on a Monday, 8 p.m. UK. So if you want to see me be super sassy about the apocalypse and people's terrible choices, tune in then. Tuesdays, I'm streaming with a friend of mine, Susie. We're playing some Rainbow Six Siege. And who knows what's going to happen on Friday streams now. But yeah, you can find me on Twitch and Twitter. That's where I hang out most of the time.
Oh, we need to try and get a whole load of us to play Phasmophobia. It's my new love right now.
Oh my God.
I have it downloaded.
It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying.